Yes, I was born and brought up in Stockport, mainly in the Cheadle area. My first recollections of the river was when we used to get off the bus just outside Mersey Square, and the river was right near the bus stop, and it was always very threatening and fast, and you know, I was always pleased that there was a railing between me and this big gorge. That's my first recollection. There was also a place where you could stand at the side of the shopping area before Mersey Way was built and look down underneath Mersey Way Road, and the river looked very black, and again it looked a dangerous, threatening place. Most people of my age remember that, you know, as kids we would stand there and look at it. If it wasn't for the river, Stockport wouldn't be here. Its position, right next to a ford, was where people had to come to get across. And it was the dividing line between Lancashire and Cheshire. So it became a gathering if the river was in flood and they couldn't cross the ford. They had to wait on both sides. Of course, it wasn't long before they built a bridge, and that again was a focus point where people got across the river. Travellers used to pay the little man who lived underneath for a safe crossing. So that was the start of it, really. And like a lot of towns, the river became part of the history of the area. Right from very early medieval times, corn milling brought in a big income for the Lord of the Manor. And in Stockport, he had two corn mills, and he ran them with water wheels off the river. But again, the Mersey is very unpredictable. It can be very dry, it can be in flood, it would wash the wheels away. And he actually built tunnels to control the river and to make more money out of his corn mills. Those tunnels were perfect when silk became popular, because he built the mills next to the tunnels and he got the power there and he ran the silk mills. It wasn't long before cotton became more productive than silk. And again, the silk mills, well, the cotton mills ran off the river in these tunnels. It's so much so that sometimes the river was completely empty and all the water was going down the tunnels to feed the mills. And that really is how Stockport's cotton industry started off, more important than Manchester's to begin with. Because of the river, Stockport's also full of springs, which all drain into the Mersey. You could virtually dig a well anywhere, I think, in Stockport and find water. It was definitely built on water, springs, brooks. We have the Tin Brook, which still runs underneath the shopping areas and discharges under Mersey Way. The water's there, but nobody knows it's there anymore. There's a lot of people in Stockport who still worked for the mills, and the water was used, but it wasn't used then for turning wheels, but it was used for the industrial processes. Cotton needed a lot of water. The steam engines needed water. There are a lot of foundries in Stockport because the water's there and because they need it. And again, these were positioned along the river, and people will remember working in places like that. Water was very important to a lot of activity, a lot of industry and wealth. I think this is probably one of the problems. Because the mills have closed down and these iron foundries have gone, they think the river's not needed anymore. Certainly when it was built over, and Stockport tried to forget it was there. I think by opening it up and getting people to reuse the river and to celebrate the river rather than hide it, far from dividing the town like it used to, it can reunite the two sides, bring people down to the river to do things. Well, the river became a divider to the town. North of the river became part of Stockport, although it used to be part of Manchester. It joined to Stockport and the river was in the way. They also probably thought this would make a great road from east to west through the middle of the town. So they built over it, and this amazing structure for the 1930s covered the river completely and made a dual carriageway. From then on, people didn't want to know the river in Stockport. It was hidden, it was buried, it was dirty, it was full of industrial waste from the mills, and they really didn't want it anymore. And unfortunately, it hasn't changed. People, they don't know it's there, they don't want to know it's there. If they happen to look over a railing and see something dumped, everybody complains, you know, dirty River Mersey. And it would be so nice to change all that, bring it back to something that people want again. And if you talk about the Goyt Valley, they think of Derbyshire, but we also have the Goyt Valley. It comes right into Stockport, right up to where the Mersey starts. But no, they don't relate it at all. Well, under Mersey Way, you've got the start of the Mersey. I mean, it's just slightly round the corner. But that is the beginning of the Mersey, and it goes all the way to Liverpool, and people don't tend to know that. You know, Stockport is where it all began. It didn't used to be. The Mersey used to begin further up in Marple, where the Ethro joined the Goyt, but somebody made a mistake, probably writing a map, put it down wrong, and it's been different ever since. I've seen it on some very early maps where they've written it down for the first time wrong, and I think that's how it changed. And that's how these things do change even today. Somebody will write something down wrong on a street name, and that street changes its name. That's how it happens. There is a story, I don't know if it's true, that Bonnie Prince Charlie camped above the gorge outside Stockport and looked down, and they thought it was so beautiful it reminded them of home. And they christened that particular area Teviotdale, and that's still its name today. But it was the Mersey Valley that they were looking at. The caves at Brinksway we always thought were workshops, but just recently we found out that they were built by the navvies who built the viaduct. So you have the link there, the caves are by the river, and the navvies were working to build the bridge over the river for the railway, and were very much in danger of being on top of it, of falling in while they were working. And it was apparently a shanty town, which is what they used to do. Thousands of them would turn up in a town to build viaducts and railway lines, and had to find somewhere to live, and they weren't paid very much, so they couldn't get board and lodging. And they used to build these shanty towns, and of course the caves. Probably was a bit of a minor cave network, and they've increased it, give themselves somewhere to live. They would be mainly Irish, and they would travel around with the railway wherever they were being built. With the families as well, not just the men. It just happened to be that we were doing a talk about it, and a gentleman came up, as they often do, and said, "My grandfather told me when I was a little lad that he remembered, or his grandfather had remembered, them actually living there." So it had been passed down through the family, and everyone else had forgotten about it. I do have a spot that I would like to see celebrated. I don't know whether you'd call it a favourite spot, but when I walk from the Peel Centre car park across the bridge towards Mersey Way, I always feel very sad that you cross the river there. There's a very old bridge, and people don't notice it. They don't notice the river, they don't notice the bridge, and they should do. I think it should be brought to the fore and made something of in that spot. I don't think there is any nice feelings in Stockport at the moment about the river. We want to bring it back. We definitely want to make people proud of the fact that Stockport has a river. Not keep it all hidden. Celebrate it, really. Yes, be proud of it. It's much cleaner. It's much nicer. Getting that message through to people, I think, is still difficult. And that's what we're trying to do.